Chapter 4, verse number 1 through 7. Again, this morning, I didn't get through with that last week or didn't deal with that verse as much. I wanted to use that as a text verse again. There's several text verses we could use for this series, but this is the one we're using today, and we'll draw something out of it. I hope and pray the Lord gives something to you concerning this theme of this series that we're talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1 through verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Let's pray. Father, help us today, give us grace, speak to our heart, let no one quench your spirit. We'll praise you for all that is done. I thank you for the truth today. I thank you for that may it shine. May you move in our midst and help somebody to trust you, somebody to eat of you and partake of you, that they might be saved. I pray that the precious Holy Spirit of God would fall on us like it did on Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. That's what it's going to take, is a great outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God that souls might be saved. So I pray, be more than just words today. Be more than just information. But I pray it'll be a quickening spirit that would move the words down in the heart of each individual, that they might advance or be or do what they need to be or do and go where they need to go toward you as they seek you with all their heart. You said if they do, they'll find you. So I pray you'd help us today. Let no one quench your spirit. Give us grace and help us to have the words we need to say. Help us to, Lord, just bind forces of evil and cast aside every devil that would hinder and meet with us and help us in these days. And we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for it all. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Like to deal with a subject taken from the text for the series, really Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 12 through 14, where he said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Of course, he's writing to the professors in the book of the Hebrews, is the early church who were wanting to go back to the Old Testament type of worship. They left it, embraced Christ by at least with the head, and said they believed, and some of them still wanted to go back. But he said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness. Now that's what we're dealing with, that subject. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. As we think about that and recap just a little bit, we've been on it now. This is the fourth message on this series. I'll not go into full recapping, but remember we said that man's spirit, soul, and body is going to be preserved blameless if he's saved one day. And we know that that's we talk about that as being salvation as far as the main cover, but it's in three parts. There's justification, sanctification, and glorification. Man's spirit saved from the penalty of sin, that's justification. Man's soul is being saved day by day from the power and dominion of sin. That is what we call progressive sanctification. And then, of course, one day there'll be a promised sanctification. That's whenever what is called glorification, when the body will be saved from the presence of sin when the Lord comes back. But until then, we're to live in such a way that we're growing in grace, the inward man being renewed day by day. Now, we said the word sanctification can be defined as three different positions of that, or three different parts. We talk about the middle part, progressive sanctification, usually. But the word sanctification itself can be positional sanctification, which is the same as justification, which is also the same as holiness. In other words, sanctification is the same word that's translated holiness in the New Testament. And it means that without holiness, no man will see God. So when man is saved, when he's justified, his spirit is quickened and made alive and saved from the penalty of sin. At that point, God imputes righteousness into him. He imputes also what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, also sanctification, which is holiness. In other words, it's a positional holiness, imputed holiness inside an individual, never to leave. And really, it's just Jesus, because Jesus is sanctification. Jesus is holiness. Jesus is righteousness, you see. And so therefore, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So therefore, if man has had imputed righteousness or imputed holiness, been justified, saved from the penalty of sin, he will walk in such a way that God will get glory and he'll be renewed. The inner man will be renewed day by day. That's what we call progressive sanctification, where the soul is being saved day by day from the power and the dominion of sin. It's also called progressive holiness. And that's what we're talking about when the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. In other words, if you've been saved, God said there's going to be some holiness in your life in some degree, some quantity. Be like the good ground. When man's saved, it'll bring forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. In other words, at different degrees. It could be any other number listed in that as well. But it's going to bring forth some fruit. So without holiness, though, you'll not see God. Because if you don't have some holiness in your life after you're saved, then you've never had imputed holiness and you're not going to heaven. You're lost and on the road to hell. So therefore, we're talking here about this progressive holiness, which we call practical holiness, day by day, being saved from the power or the dominion of sin, living in such a way that the Lord help us. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Meaning if you're saved, you've got imputed holiness. You've got some progressive holiness in your life because you'll see God. But without holiness, you'll not see God. Meaning you're not going to heaven. Verse number 3 said of 1 John 3, And every man that hath this hope in him. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've got a hope of being translated at the point when Jesus comes back in the rapture. Then he says this in verse number 3. If he has this hope, then he said, he purifieth himself. Now you can't do anything yourself. We know that. But it means that you make yourself available for the Holy Spirit to work in you that holiness. Because purifieth is the same basic word for holiness. He has holiness in his life. And so we're dealing with that. We're dealing with that practical holiness, if you please. And that's what Paul basically said in our text verse today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as he wrote to the saints. And by the way, the word saints comes from the word sanctification work of the Spirit, which means it's the same word to be holy. And we sung about holiness a whole lot this morning. And so therefore, he says furthermore, verse 1, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Paul said, I've taught you some things when I was there at church at Thessalonica. And then what you received of me, you ought to walk. Order your lifestyle. That's that progressive walk. See, progressive sanctification or progressive holiness is the walk of progression toward perfection that'll be gained at the first resurrection. No man can't live without above sin. Some people say, well, sanctified means to be live above sin. No, it means that when we're dealing with this practical part, it means that you've got to walk a progression. So Paul said to the saints there, he said, once you're saved, you received to me. I told you some things. I'm writing you some things. And the Lord's writing us some things too, if you please, through Paul and Peter and all the apostles that wrote the book, the New Testament. And these are the commands of God. And so he said, you need to walk as I taught you. You need to obey the commands of God. In fact, he said in verse number 3 of our text verse, For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You can substitute holiness there because the same Greek word is also translated holiness, okay? Even your holiness, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Verse number 7, For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God's called you to that, saints of God, those who've been saved. He's not calling lost people in a sense to that. He's calling you to come partake of him and be saved. But once you're saved, there's imputed holiness, and therefore there will be a growing process in your soul day by day that will help you have a holiness, and without it, you will not see God, is what he said. And so and you won't see the Lord. Now, holiness, define it, all right? Basically, I said we'll use this term. There's other definitions we could put to it, but they all boil down basically to this. Holiness is conformity to the will of God and obedience to the Lord's command. That's what it means to be holy, simply obeying what God said. Well, we're not under law, preacher. We're under grace. That's true if you're saved. And if you're not saved, you're still under the law. And the law administered condemnation and death, and you can't live up to it. But the law is good and just and holy. Why? It backs you in the corner, lets you know you need someone. You need a door. And you say, I can't. That law can't. It ministers. I'm condemned, and I'm going to die and go to hell, be separated from God forever. But then Jesus, in his grace, when he gets you backed in the corner with the law, the Old Testament law, then it says, hey, I'm the door. I'm the way out, and I'm the way in. I'm the way into life, eternal life. And so, therefore, he is our holiness. But it means still, even though we're not under the law of God, we still have the commands of the Lord in the New Testament time. And the Bible over and over talks about those things for us in this age of grace, okay? And so the text said there again in verse number 2, for you know that what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And again he said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification or holiness, that ye should abstain from fornication. So the Lord commands us some things. Verse number 7 again, I'll read that again. For he said, God's not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now, what's the Lord commanded us? Well, I'll give you one verse that the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. He said, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means manner of living, manner of your walk, manner of your talk as well, but manner of living. Because it is written, Leviticus says that, be ye holy, for I am holy. He told the Old Testament Israelites, be ye holy, for I'm holy. And now Peter quotes it for us today. Be ye holy. Without holiness, no man, and he warned us of that. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, I've dealt with these, and I'll not recap a lot more. I'll just give you just some things where you can look at, because I said I tried to show that true practical holiness, what it is. I defined it, but I showed you what sort of persons, those whom God called holy, what are they like? What sort of persons are they? And I give you about 12 things, and I'll just hit them and run, okay? Holiness is the habit of being one mind with God, according as we find his mind described in the Scripture. Number 2, holiness, a holy man will endeavor to shun every known sin and to keep every known commandment. Now, you notice I said endeavor because you've still got this old flesh, and there's some things you want to do that you don't always do. Number 3, a holy man will strive to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Strive means to strain every fiber of your body to be like him. And that's that endeavor part, okay? Number 4, a holy man will follow after meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, kind temper, and control of his tongue. That's basically the fruit of the Spirit. A holy man, number 5, will follow after temperance and self-denial. Number 6, a holy man will follow after charity and brotherly kindness. Number 7, a holy man will follow after the spirit of mercy and benevolence toward others. Number 8, a holy man will follow after the fear of God. Number 9, a holy man will follow after purity of heart. Number 10, a holy man will follow humility. Number 11, a holy man will follow after faithfulness in all the duties and relations in life. Number 12, a holy man will follow after spiritual mindedness. Did you notice something I said in most of those 12 verses? They will follow. That means endeavor to follow. They will follow after these things. So in summary, a holy man is one who will follow God's commands. Or at least he'll endeavor to do that. And then that means he to do his best to follow God. That's what he said. And without it, you'll not see God. Well, as we think about this, we like the word, a lot of time, we'd like the word fellowship, okay? There's another word we like called sonship. Somebody said, I'm glad to be a son. And we have sonship. I like fellowship. We use them when we think of that. We're talking about sitting down around a meal somewhere, aren't we? And eating, we're going to have fellowship. But it's good to have fellowship, whatever. For most mean to be around the Lord Jesus. But I heard the preacher pray, the black preacher pray the other night. As he made a prayer the other night, I don't know which night it was now. But he prayed, I think it was Friday night, wasn't it? Friday night, I believe. He said, did you catch it, you who were there? Did you catch it? He said something about fellowship. I said, hey, that's what we're talking about. Fellowship. Man will follow. That's a good word, fellowship, because you see, we need to enjoy Now, yeah, we enjoy fellowship, but we also need to enjoy fellowship. That means following the Lord, doing what he said. And that's what the Lord said many times to people. Bible said in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, and he said unto them, follow you. Went by the sea and called them. Follow me, he said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. In other words, follow me. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 21 and 22, he said, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer. They was talking to, and it wasn't necessarily his apostles here, but he was talking to somebody, and he said unto the disciple, Lord said, he said, Lord, the disciple said, let me first go and bury my father, because he'd said, follow me. And then Jesus said to him, but Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. In other words, more important than anything else is to follow him. Bible said in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 9, and Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of the custom. And he said unto me, follow me. And he arose and followed him. I believe that's his salvation experience. I know it's his call. And don't have anywhere else we know about him for sure. But he followed him. That's what salvation is. It's to follow the Lord. I mean, Bible says this in 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciple Matthew, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Fellowship, okay? Then he said to the rich young ruler, come wanting to be saved. After that, he said, I kept the law. Jesus said, keep the law. And then he said, go sell that you've got and give to the poor. And the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, and that word means to be complete, really be saved by the grace of God, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, folks, we may not realize it, but if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to come to the place where he's Lord of your life. And you're going to have to follow him if you expect to have imputed holiness. And when you're following him, there's going to be that progressive holiness worked in your life day by day as the inner man is renewed. Because without it, you'll not see God. God said that in his word. He says that in his word. He warned us. Matthew 19:21 also said, Jesus said unto him, if thou would be perfect, go sell that. Yeah, that's the one I just read. John 1:43, he said there that the day following, this is when Jesus came on the scene and Andrew and Philip had followed him at that time, but John had followed him at that time. But the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and he findeth Philip. Didn't mean he just happened up on him. He had a direct path going right where he was. Knew where he was. Knew his condition. And he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. John chapter 10, verse number 27. Listen to what it says about my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they might follow me a little bit at a time. Now what it said. They follow me. See, we were living in the day when a lot of people, now I got saved, but I'm living like the devil. Yeah, that's not salvation. Folks, that's not salvation. Because that's somebody who made a profession with the head, but they've never really had imputed holiness because they're not following the Lord. There's no renewing holiness day by day in that as the inner man is renewed. And the Bible says they're not saved is what it amounts to. But here he said, follow me. Follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 12:20, and by the way, verse number 5 of John 10 says, and a stranger's voice will they not follow. Now, I want to tell you, if you've ever heard truth, and you have imputed truth, and imputed righteousness, imputed Christ, then you'll not follow after every heresy that comes by, every wind of doctrine. You will stay true to the truth. Now, you may be shaken for a little bit, but God's going to settle it in your heart. And you're going to move with him. You're going to continue to follow him. So you see, this thing we've been preaching over the years has just put a lot of people with false hope. But now why are we preaching this? It's because while there's hope, an open door, a striving spirit, a preacher of righteousness, and a long-suffering God, if you get honest about that imputed holiness, don't have it. Why? Because I don't have progressive holiness. If you don't have progressive holiness, you better check up, examine whether you've ever really been saved or not. Because without holiness, you'll not see the Lord. It's what he said in his word. So therefore, you realize he, and to Peter, Jesus said, and by the way, John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus said this, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. But if you're going to serve him, say, I want to serve the Lord. Follow him. Just do what he said. That is really the definition of holiness, just to conform to the image of God. Conform to him, not to this world, but to conform to him and be what God would have you to be. And then he said to Peter in John chapter 21, verse number 19, just before he ascended, he was out by the Sea of Galilee. And then spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, after he dealt with Peter there, and said, Simon, you love me. Three times, you know the story. I hope you know the story. But he said, oh, because Christ, he said, and when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Peter, follow me. He'd already told him to follow, and I'll make you fishers of men. Peter needed to be reminded to do it, and Peter did, because he went back a fishing. Didn't know what to do. He was shook up. He didn't know Jesus had died. He didn't understand. He thought he had to have something to eat or a way to make a living for his wife and family. And what it was, he said, follow me. Peter did that. You find him all through the book of Acts following me. And I preached a message on it one time. Lip service is good, but God said, I want some action, okay? I mean, a lot of people say, I'll follow you and don't have any action, but Peter gave him some action in the book of Acts. You'll find him all the way through doing that. Peter also said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, 1 Peter 2, 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Who's our example? It's not Peter, it's not John, it's not Paul. He left us an example, what? That we should follow his steps. It's pretty heavy. Pretty heavy. But God said, without holiness, you'll not see God. And he says, we need to follow after those things we mentioned there. Well, that amounts to fellowship, if you please. True, practical holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Therefore, it means there has never, if a man doesn't have that practical holiness in his life, it means he's never had imputed holiness. No matter what he says, it's not there. And God says, now there's hope. You need to move while you can, because there's an open door, striving spirit, and a preacher of righteousness, and a long-suffering God. That's why we're dealing with this subject, so you can examine and get honest. So we dealt with that point number one. We tried to show what true practical holiness is. Now, I'm going to go further today, okay? And it's a lot of repetition, I know that. But sometimes we have to have line upon line, precept upon precept. Here, it's like I said the other day, that verse of Scripture and Psalm 50, verse number 23, that I read that, and it jumped out at me last week before last now. It jumped out at me that he who ordereth his life aright shall see the salvation of the Lord. Why, if you'd have been asking me, had you ever seen that before? I'd have had to say, I hadn't really saw that particular verse before. But you know what? When I looked in my Bible, it's already marked when I'd read that Bible through. I picked up another Bible that I'd read through, and it was marked in that. And I picked up the third one this week, and it was marked in that one. But you know what? Until God quick, that means, I think God trying to tell us something, amen? Because I'd read it, and probably more than that. And you sometimes read it and don't mark it, but I'd marked it three times. And now God said, if you'll order your life, if you'll order your conversation aright, you shall see the salvation of the Lord. Well, that's hope for the seeker, okay? That's hope for the seeker. If you do what's right, what God, I know it's times you can't, but whenever you can't, you cry out for mercy. God said, that's where I've been trying to get you, the end of yourself. To the end of yourself. Well, at any rate, we're talking about, let me say this as we go further though, let me try to show some reasons why practical holiness is so important. Well, people ask the question, you're talking about holiness, can holiness save us? Can holiness cover our sin? Can holiness pay our sin debt? No. As far as our holiness, what we have, no. Jesus said this though in Luke chapter 17, verse number 9. He said in Luke 17, verse number 9. I've got it somewhere. Luke 17, 9. Doth he think that the servant, because he did the things that were commanded him, in other words, he's talking about the profitable servant there, but he thinks he's done right just because he did the things that was commanded him. In other words, Jesus said, I trow not. That word trow means I think not. He said, even if we do all his commands, even if we, it's just our duty. And he called even the brightest saint, if you please, an unprofitable servant in that text, okay? All our purest works are no better than filthy rags when tried by the light of God's holy laws. All of our best. Now the white robe that God gives us, the Lord offers us, and is put on when saving faith is exercised, must be our righteousness. That is the righteousness that God requires when he will reprove you of righteousness. It's, of course, of Jesus, who is the righteousness. But even trying to do our best many times are wrong in motive and defective in performance. You say, well, there's no hope for me. Oh, yes, there is. Because Paul said this, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived, Paul said. And when we look at Paul's life, we say, well, we've not arrived either. We've not made it. And he didn't make it. We sure didn't make it. I've not apprehended. But this is what he said there in verse number. This one thing I do, forgetting those things that's behind. That means I'm not going to let those things hinder me or persuade me. I did wrong all those years. I forget them and that's it. You can't erase them out of your mind. He's going to white flag them all the time to you. But he said, I do one thing. I forget those things. I don't let them hinder me. And I reach forth reaching forth unto those things which are before me. For he said in verse number 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, in other words, I've got to endeavor to follow him. I've got to have fellowship in my life. Paul's saying that. I hadn't arrived yet. So that'll give you hope to know. You've not got to be perfect as the world talks about perfectness, but it's work of God that will help you day by day to grow in grace and to be what God would have you to be in the days at hand. And even if we do all he commands, that's just our duty. So he called even the brightest saint an unprofitable servant. All our purest works, I said, when put up against the law of God, are just as filthy rag. Well, we think about it, even trying to do our best is many times wrong in motive and performance. Yet the warning is still there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, which is, and that's follow peace and follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, why is holiness so important? That's what we want to talk about for a little while today. First of all, we must be holy because the voice of God in Scripture plainly demands it. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse number 20, and he's talking about the Pharisees. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. Now, they had self-righteousness. You've got to have his righteousness. Got to be imputed. And that gives you imputed holiness. But your best is not going to get you in. The Pharisees probably were a country mile ahead of us in their daily activity. Of course, they still had an old rotten attitude about it, you see. Oh, yeah, attitude. Is that a good way to describe it? Yeah, attitude. Well, Jesus also said this in John, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48. Be ye therefore perfect, that means complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, we're reaching toward that perfection, but we'll not gain it till the first resurrection. But there's a growing in your life. And if there's no growing, if you've not grown in holiness, if you've not grown in separation, if you've not grown in sanctification, okay, then that in that progression, then you better check up to see if you've ever been saved, if you ever had imputed holiness. Because if you got imputed holiness, it's going to move in your heart and come out on you. You realize that. Jesus said this, and Paul said this by inspiration, by the way, what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3. He says there in 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, even your holiness, that ye should abstain from fornication. Another walk in what I've taught you to do is what he told them there at that time. Peter also said again the command in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, manner of living, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So number one, we must be holy because the voice of God in the Scripture plainly commands it. Number two, we must be holy because this is the purpose of Christ. This is the purpose he came into this world. The purpose of Christ. Paul wrote this in 1 and 2 Corinthians 5:15, and talking about Christ, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Paul said it also in Ephesians 5:26, 5 and 6. He's 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, church, by the washing of water by the word. He also said in Titus 2:14, talking about Christ who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. So for a person to say that he's been saved from the penalty of sin and the guilt of sin, that's what he says when he says, I'm saved. That's what it means. But for that person to say that without being at the same time saved from sin's dominion, from the power of sin on his in his heart, in their heart, is to contradict the witness of the Scripture. Believers are said to be elect. Now, that don't get scared about that word. You're elected. That doesn't mean God chose you to heaven and some to hell. That has nothing to do with a lost man. But he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2, he said that he's writing to the elect. That's the saints of God who have imputed holiness. He said, and this comes by what? According to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood. Okay? And then he also said that they're he says they're predestinated. Well, that word scares a lot of people, but that doesn't mean anything to a lost man. But it says those that God has done a work in their life, God said, I predestinated you to be like Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. He said, for whom he did foreknow, they knew they were coming. And he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God says he's going to make you like Christ. Does that not mean that you're going to have to grow? Does that not mean your life's going to change? Does that not mean 10 years down the road you're going to be a little more sanctified? A little more holy? In that sense, there's going to be some holiness, in a progressive holiness in your life. Because without it, you've never had imputed holiness. And therefore, you'll not see God. And so we realize that. Believers are also said to be chosen in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4. When he says this in Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him. That's where the choosing comes, in Christ. You get in Christ, you'll find out you're chosen, okay? And you're predestinated to be made like Jesus. But chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Foreknowledge of God. Don't understand it all, but it's there. That we should be what? Holy. And without blame before him in love. God said, I've chosen you to be holy. I've chosen you to be that way. And also he said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 10, for they verily for a few days are chasing us after their own pleasure. Talking about parents, okay? But he for our profit, he chastens us, saints of God, for our profit. Why? That we might be partakers of his holiness. So when you're saved, God's going to deal with you as a father does with his son. He's going to, so that you can come to a place to be a partaker of his holiness and grow. All right, number 3. We're talking we must be holy because this is the only sound evidence we have saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we have sound faith, in other words, a saving faith, is knowing, because we've got evidence, a sound evidence, that we have a saving faith, is to have holiness in our practical walk. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, which is also right after he said that he counted all things lost, that he might win Christ, which means to be saved. But then he turned to something else, and he said this in verse 9, still talking about his experience and his life. He said, and then be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by God, is God by of God by faith. Now, Paul said, I want to be found in him. Paul knew he was saved. He didn't worry about that. But it's not talking about being found at the judgment seat of Christ that one day God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He'll have that, okay? It'll be there. But what he's saying here in Philippians 3:9, he means I want to be, it turned, in other words, to be actually turned out to be in him. He wanted his life to demonstrate that he was in Christ. In other words, he wanted others to see Jesus in him during his life upon this earth. I want to be found in him. I want a growing process in my life, day by day, as my soul is being saved from the power of sin. That's what James says, wherefore, in view of the fact that you've had imputed holiness, he said, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness what's already been imputed in you, the word of God, that you might, in other words, that he might save your soul day by day from the power and the dominion of sin. Have some victory in your life. That's what God said. Without holiness, you'll not see God. Well, as we think about this, good works can't save us. We know that. You're not saved by work. But Paul did say this about the saints of God in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we, saints of God, should walk in them. Bible says this, and Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by these fruits ye shall know them. In other words, if you've had imputed holiness, there's going to be some fruit of holiness in your life. Righteous acts, okay? That's the good works of God. It's him, in other words. James warns of a dead faith, having a dead faith. A lot of people say, well, I'm saved, but they don't have no life. I can live like I want to. If you can live like you want to and be conformed to this world, you've never had imputed holiness. You're using your liberty as a license to sin, and God said don't do that in Galatians 5:13. So Paul James warns of a dead faith, a faith which goes no further than a profession of the lips and has no influence on man's character. If you've got saving faith, there'll be influence on your character. James says this so in James 2:17. He said, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead. If you've got saving faith, there's going to be some works that goes along. Not to be saved, but to know, it'd be a demonstration of what God's done for you at that point and that time when you got born again, if you please, got saved. It is true that saving faith is different from that dead faith, okay? It will always show itself by its fruit. Saving faith will and always show itself. It will sanctify you. It's the work by love, saving faith. It will overcome the world and it will purify your heart day by day. That's amounts to holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Number four, why must we have holiness? Number four, we must be holy because this is the only proof that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is in us in sincerity. The only proof is to have holiness. Romans 5:5 says this, he said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, saints of God, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, saints of God. Those who've had imputed holiness, God said, I shed abroad love in your heart. I poured it in like a flood. Didn't come like dewdrops, didn't come like a little sprinkle of rain, but he said, love is shed abroad in your hearts. In other words, it's there. And so if you're saved, it's shed abroad. Our Lord spoke clearly to his apostles in John chapter 14 and chapter 15 as he's on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane from the upper room. And so there's where he faced our sins at the Garden of Gethsemane when he asked God, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. But on the way, what did he say? John 14:15, he said this to the disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you've ever had love shed abroad in your heart, he said, you'll have a desire to keep his commandments. You'll endeavor to keep his commandments. And he also said in John chapter 14, verse number 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 15:14, he said to his disciples, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Folks, we can't find any plainer words than what Jesus said on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane about loving and being loving him and loving others. And by the way, if you love him, you'll love others, okay? And woe to those who neglect those words that the Lord said. A man who says he's saved and clings to his sin is in an unhealthy state of soul. And more than likely, I'll say it that way, has only a profession and not a possession. Why? For it was sin that wove the crown of thorns placed on Jesus' head. It was sin that pierced our Lord's hand and feet and side. It was sin that brought him to Gethsemane. It was sin that brought him to Calvary. It was sin that brought him to the cross and the grave. It was, our hearts are cold if we do not hate sin and labor to get rid of it. Paul said this in Romans 8:13. He said, 8:13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul also said this, "But if I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, but I keep under, and not if, I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Doesn't mean to be lost after saved. It means that he will be disqualified for reward. Have he wood, hay, and stubble be burned at the judgment seat. But without holiness, and sometime in your life, you'll not see God. What the Bible says, you'll not see. We must have it because God commanded it that way. And what it does, it lets us see that if we don't have this practical holiness, and I'm using this as a term, salvation here, that's the point of justification. When the Spirit's saved from the penalty of sin, then you begin to grow. It's a walk of progression toward perfection that'll be gained at the first resurrection when you'll have a promised holiness and your body will be saved and be like the Lord. But during this period of time, from here to there, okay, from here to that point, there ought to be a growing. There ought to be a progressing. Doesn't mean you're holier than thou, as some people would try to say about holiness. It just simply means that I want to obey the commands of God. I want to conform to the Lord's will in my life. I endeavor to do that. I want to follow Him. I want to have fellowship in my life, not just fellowship and sonship. I want fellowship and follow Him in every area that we dealt with in those things back in the first point that we talked about in other tapes. Follow Him. Follow me, Jesus said. And that's what he's saying to us today. Well, I don't know whether I'm willing to pay the price. The rich young man wasn't willing to pay the price because he knew to follow him means he's going to have another life. And he was in business. And you can still have a business and still follow him, all right? But if you make it an issue, then that has to come to that place. I mean, whatever you make an issue, then God will make an issue about whatever it is, whatever sin it might be, as Brother Tim brought out last week for those who were there. So, therefore, may God help us to know, he said, if you've got imputed holiness, if you're really saved, there's going to be a growing process in your life of holiness. Keeping the commands of God. Endeavoring to do what God said. Endeavoring to do that. Now, later on, we may have to get down where the rubber meets the road and just talk about some things that God said it amounts to holiness. I'm talking about, we're preaching a lot in generality, okay? When we talk about humility, well, that's generality. But when we get down to some thing and talk about commands of God, when God says things specific, then we may have to deal with it like the man who's the loggers, you know. Lord, don't steal thy neighbor's logs. You see, he got fired because he just preached in general, thou shalt not steal, and let him steal no more. Well, we want you to get to general. I want you to move toward that and say, I want that for my life, even as a seeker. Are you willing to pay the price? That's what it's going to take, Lordship. You're going to have to come. And a lot of times people are like the rich young ruler. They come and say, I'm not willing to do what God said. You're willing to go so far, but not all the way. And you're going to have to go all the way, forsaking everything in your heart. You're going to have to forsake it. Loving Him supremely above all others of your family and everything else and all the worldly activity. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. Ezekiel said, he's looking for a man to stand in the gap. And gap is spelled G-A-P, but he said, I found none and had to destroy the land. God's looking from people who will stand in the gap today. You say, what's that? That's following Him. What is it? The good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. G-A-P. He's looking for those to get into that position to where you're willing to do it. And when you, even as a lost person, when God deals with you, you see that. I don't know whether I'm willing to pay that price. And God knows that, but He's not going to just jerk you out and just make you do it all at once. He works on you. Works you to where you'll be made willing. And you know when you're really made willing? In the day of His power. You'll be willing in the day of His power. When He moves up on you with that power. And it'd be a point in time. You may be like the thief on the cross. He cursed the Lord. Cursed the. He said, hey, you know, we both go curse you. And they did. They cursed the Lord. But all at once, something transpired. I don't know what happened, but this power moved on him. Something clicked inside of him. Some verse, then maybe Old Testament verse that he had. I don't know what he had. But it came out, and he turned to the other thief and said, "Hey, we deserve what we're getting. But this man, Jesus in the middle, has done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong." And he turned to him with understanding that he's a king, understanding he's got a kingdom. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus, in pain and agony, and every bone pulled out of joint. I mean, and you know what pain and agony, he wasn't concerned about himself, but for the joy that one day he'll present that thief to the devil and say, "Look, we had one that overcome." He'll present him to the Father and say, my price on the cross that I paid, dying on the cross, paid for his sin. And he turned to him and said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. That's what we need more than anything, is to let God be willing to pay the price. And I'm not trying to make you do anything. I'm just trying to quote to you what the Lord said. And God says, without holiness, you won't see God. And the command is, be ye holy. Not only imputed holiness, because if that comes, there's going to be a progressive holiness in your life. And without that, in this walk, without that, you're not going to see God, because there's nothing there. Now you've got hope. If you'll get honest about it, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. You say, but we've got some people here that's been going through some things. They ain't saved yet. I won't tell you what. One of these days, God's going to drop in. He's going to fall on somebody. Amen. I hope he falls on the butt. Be good if he does it all at one time, wouldn't it? But he's going to fall on somebody and give somebody else more hope. Amen. Give somebody else more hope. And when he falls on you, he'll birth you into the family of God. And I want to tell you what, then you'll have a new desire. You'll have a new walk. You'll say, "Lord, I want to be what you want me to do. I don't always do it, but I want to be. I don't endeavor to do it like I should, but I want that. I want to have fellowship. I want to follow you." And be willing to pay the price, because he made you that way. And he'll get the glory. I can't, but he can. So until then, I'll just keep on preaching by the grace of God, trying to keep on hammering the same nail over and over and over again. That God would come to the place that he would convince you, you need him. He is your holiness. He is your righteousness. He that hath not the Son of God hath not righteousness, hath not holiness, you see. It's what it amounts to. And when you get convinced, you'll desire him and you'll move toward him. And he'll say, "Wilt thou?" And you wilt. Well, I'm looking for that day somebody will wilt before the Lord. I'd love to see it today. Love to see it in the days ahead, but we're doing everything we know. And so you forgive me if I fail, and I do fail. But I'm endeavoring to do that, okay? I'm endeavoring to do that for us all, that we might see some come to the place, have imputed holiness, and then there'll be the place that you'll see their lives begin to change, and they'll walk in holiness and fulfill the commandment, be ye holy as I'm holy, because it's the work of God, not a work of man. Not something you do, but a work of God. And that'll bring grace, great grace and glory to the Lord. And that's the only reason he saves anybody, is to get glory. And he said, I'm looking for that day. I was on the cross. I saw that day. I had you on my mind that day. And I've been watching you, how you've kicked and you bucked. But he said, time's right. I'll come to you. And it'll be done. It'll be done. May the Lord help us. Be ye holy as I'm holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Father, I pray today